I got an entire tour canceled as a result of writing this song, and I was thoroughly denounced. I've never been so thoroughly denounced. Well, not until the past couple weeks, anyway. You see them praying, watch the army marching in. As they clubbed old women, did you see the general grin? Watch the stones fly and the snipers taking aim. On Shatila's birthday, it's a calculated game. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you hear him screaming? Watch the horror on his face as he hid for cover in a tiny unprotected space. Did you hear his father pleading? There is a child here trying to protect his son, who yelled in horror and in fear that they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you feel the wind blow from the helicopter blades? Did you smell the tear gas, see the demolition raids? Did you see the rockets and the dumb bullets fly? Did you feel the horror to watch one more young boy die as they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem? Did you see the roadblocks letting nobody go past? Watch the blood flow as time is running fast. See someone's brother taking his last breath. So close to the hospital, but closer still to death. Then they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Did you hear the fat cat say it's not what it appears? It's an armed uprising, a realization of our fears. Do you hear them chanting that this is their homeland? They want what's ours, and we've got to make a stand. So we're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. Some want power, and it seems the world's theirs to give. Some just want peace and a decent place to live. Some talk of destiny and what their God has willed, while a mother weeps that her 9-year-old's been killed. And they're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem. They're gunning down the children of Jerusalem.
And you are indeed tuned into Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. Hello, Kristen. Okay, I have just made contact with Kristen Schur. She is in the West Bank town of Bethlehem. And she's over there with the International Solidarity Movement, and she's also a reporter with Democracy Now. Kristen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Can you, first of all, describe a little bit about why you decided to travel to the occupied territories?
I came here with the International Solidarity Movement to stand in solidarity with Palestinians living under this brutal occupation, and to hope to draw attention to what's going on here, because the media in the United States is generally so biased that people have no idea what the reality of the situation here is, and to bring attention to the fact that Palestinians are not terrorists, and that the Israeli military fires upon them at will, and the Israeli government treats them as if they were expendable creatures that had no right to life. So we're here until some of those issues get addressed. And of course, Israeli military occupation, it has increased dramatically since we've been here. First in Ramallah, and then now in Bethlehem, where I am.
What's been happening today? It's about 10 o'clock in the evening there, on April 3rd. What can you just describe for us what has happened today in Bethlehem?
Yes. There are 200 Palestinian men, women, children, and members of the Palestinian resistance that are trapped inside the Church of the Nativity on Manger Square. There's 1,000 Israeli snipers that have taken over all the other buildings on the square, except for one mosque that was partially burned this morning. And the snipers are positioned outside the doors of the church, so there's no way in or out of the church at this point. And 5 Israeli tanks are positioned in the square, while 20 other tanks surround the square. And there are members of the Palestinian resistance that have taken refuge inside the church because they were unable to compete with the Israeli military numbers and the intensity of their weaponry that's provided to them by the United States. And the church is run by Palestinians who are sympathetic to those that are fighting for the most basic human rights. Also, ambulances have been unable to get inside the square or inside the church where there are many wounded people. A Red Crescent ambulance, which is the Palestinian ambulance service, was fired at. Another was run over by a tank, and some of the other Red Crescent ambulances are blockaded by tanks so that they'll be unusable. And inside Bethlehem itself now, there are 10,000 Israeli troops, about 200 tanks, and many armed personnel carriers. So today, the Israeli imposed curfew was lifted in Bethlehem for a couple of hours.
During the day?
During the day. It ended at 4 o'clock. And during that time, 7 members of the International Solidarity Movement who live in Al-Aza, the Jabrin refugee camp, passed through Israeli sniper area holding white flags that we painted with red crosses in order to get to Beit Jala Hospital so that we could escort ambulances into Manger Square. We were hoping to bring in food, water, and medical supplies, and doctors, or at least, you know, to be able to get the wounded out of the square. But we couldn't secure an ambulance quickly enough in order to beat the curfew. So we're going to try again tomorrow morning at 10. There's also, there was a mother and a son who were shot and were dead inside of a house that other people were living in, and the people couldn't get out to get even, you know, any reprieve from being in the house with the dead bodies. And I think that finally, late this evening, one ambulance was allowed to get the, I think it was a Red Cross ambulance, was allowed to get in and get the bodies out of the house. Other than that, none of the sick and wounded have been able to be treated at all. And inside the camp that I'm in now, there's a girl with leukemia who's 5 years old, and she needs to get out to go to the hospital for a blood transfusion, and she hasn't been able to get there. So tomorrow morning at 10, when the 7 of us head out to go back to the hospital to get an ambulance, we're going to take the little girl with us and escort her to the hospital, hoping that the Israeli soldiers hold their fire as we walk past, surrounding her and while we're carrying her. That's our only chance at this point. No Palestinians have been allowed in or out of this camp, and certainly no ambulances have been allowed in.
I read a report earlier today that a group of reporters were detained and have gone missing. Do you have any updates about that situation, or do you know anything about that situation at all?
I'm sorry, I really don't. What I do know about what's been happening to reporters is from yesterday, when 200 of us walked to Beit Jala, which is a town next to Bethlehem that's been fully occupied by the Israeli military with a curfew imposed and random house arrests going on. We walked there. yesterday in order to have our presence be known as internationals and hope to draw attention to that situation. And we were fired at by APCs with live ammunition. And they fired at us at the ground when the bullets ricocheted off the ground and struck a bunch of people. Five were hospitalized, and a BBC reporter was openly fired upon. And while the Israeli soldier who was sitting on top of the APC was shouting for them to move, but making it impossible for them to move. And actually, it wasn't yesterday. It was the day before. So, I mean, I know that the press isn't being, you know, particularly treated well, and I know that the IDF told the BBC that they would be allowed inside but not be allowed out.
Wow.
So I don't know what I haven't been keeping tabs on the corporate media, actually.
How are you able to get reports right now?
Well, we have two local television stations that are working. Now that we have electricity restored at the camp, so we've got the televisions back. And also one of the houses has CNN, so we've been seeing the biased reports that are coming out of the U.S. Hmm. And also there's a lot of word of mouth, and there are also lots and lots of us who rented cell phones, like the one that I'm on now, so that we could keep in touch with each other as internationals, and many Palestinians have cell phones as well. Because you can't necessarily count on the landlines here.
Right.
So we've really been doing a lot of phone trees, and we were on the phone with people in Ramallah and all throughout Bethlehem, in all of the three refugee camps that internationals are stationed in, and also a hotel near Manger Square that there are internationals in, and Palestine Indie Media. So Palestine Indie Media is a wonderful source of information, which is Jerusalem.IndieMedia.org.
I also read a report that that building where the Palestine IMC is housed had also been occupied by the Israeli Defense Forces. Can you confirm that?
I can try to confirm it. If you give me a second, I can go ask somebody who's been there recently if they know anything about it. But I don't know. Do you want to just let me ask?
Sure. That would be great.
Okay.
For our listeners, again, we're speaking with Kristen Schur. She is in Bethlehem in the West Bank right now in the occupied territories. She's a reporter with Democracy Now, and she's from New York City. She's been there for about a week. We're talking to her about the situation currently in Bethlehem. Kristen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I cannot confirm or deny that the Palestine IMC has been occupied. What I can do is phone them and find out, and I certainly hope that it hasn't been, and I haven't heard that so far. The last time I had contact with people that were at the IMC here in Palestine was earlier this afternoon, much earlier. So it was probably before 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And we had telephone contact with them. So if something happened between then and now, I haven't heard about it yet. And it's very possible that it's happened. I know that they've had a lot of hackers going in and into their site and trying to others trying to shut it down. And that there was talk that the whole site would be shut down. So I don't know what to tell you about that one. I hope it's not true.
We've also been hearing reports coming from Ramallah that IDF forces, Israeli Defense Forces, have occupied about 3 Palestinian television stations and have been broadcasting pornography, which is highly offensive to the Palestinian people.
I know that they have taken over television stations and have been broadcasting what I understood to be propaganda. I hadn't heard that it was pornography. I don't know about that, but I do know that they've taken over television stations. Yes.
And that has not happened in Bethlehem?
No, so far not.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
We heard a report earlier, just before we got on the line with you, that was recorded yesterday with a fellow named Sean at the Palestine IMC. He mentioned that today there would be a peace rally with members of Gush Shalom and at the checkpoint there in Bethlehem. Do you have any information about that? Is that what you were referring to earlier when you said peace activists were fired upon?
No, that's not what I was referring to. What I was referring to about the activists being fired upon was people going to Bet Jala, which is another town next to Bethlehem. As far as the the peace activists today that I think that they were, I think it was a religious action, but I'm not positive. And what I do know from what I saw as far as footage on the television, I saw them being turned away by Israeli soldiers and not able to get anywhere near the square. It is a closed military zone. And so in order to get in there, you have to be really lucky or really crafty.
While all this is going on, are homes being demolished still, and are settlers moving into the region?
Well, settlers are firing at this camp from the settlement that butts up right against it from the sniper towers. And there are settlements being built all the way around Bethlehem in order to isolate it from Jerusalem and isolate the West Bank altogether. As far as the past week is concerned, I can't tell you how many settlers have moved in or not. I don't know. I do know that when we look out at the hill, we can see one side, which is Palestinian town called Beit Jala, and on the other side is an Israeli settlement, and Beit Jala has no lights, so at night it's completely dark, and the settlement is fully lit up. So they have power, and there's one bridge that connects the two hills together, which is only for Israelis to use, so Palestinians could not pass through that area at all anyway. And there's also an elaborate sort of highway tunnel system that's been built by Israelis for Israeli use only.
Now, the United States and President George Bush have pretty strongly worded that they are supporting Israel. I mean, obviously, the U.S. funds the Israeli military. There's also talk that Arafat will be whisked out into Morocco by U.S. forces. Do you know anything about that situation?
What I know is that Arafat was the area that he's in right now in the compound was just surrounded by barbed wire, further isolating him, and that he's had no electricity or water for days. I don't know about him being taken away anywhere. All I know is that he's been told that if he doesn't surrender, he will be killed, and that he has said that he won't go. But I haven't heard that the U.S. is going to take him anywhere. As far as Bush and Sharon and their complicity in the butchering of Palestinians, I don't think that they're going to stop anytime soon. It seems to be, par for the course, and I don't expect anything more out of Bush or anyone in the U.S. government at this point.
On the issue of suicide bombings, there have been about 6 or 7 suicide bombings in the past week. Yesterday, Israeli Defense Forces shot and killed a man who allegedly had a suicide belt strapped to him, and they claimed that they prevented another attack at a checkpoint. Can you talk about this situation? Why? I mean, I guess I don't know how to phrase this question, but it seems I don't know. It seems very. It's a difficult situation. I mean, it just Israeli Defense Forces move in, somebody else does a suicide bombing. It's just like tit for tat. How do you think that this situation? How do you feel peace can be achieved in the Middle East?
I would say that it's absolutely not tit for tat. Israel has occupied Palestine since 1948. Palestinians are disallowed the most basic and fundamental human rights. They have no control over their own water, no control over their own electricity. Their schools are shut down. They're barely able to get jobs. There's sanctions imposed on them. They live by ducking and running across alleyways in order to not get shot by snipers that are here 24 hours a day, and have been for years and years, so this didn't just start. And it's not tit for tat, a suicide bombing leads to an Israeli attack. The Israelis have been actively attacking Palestinians for years and years and years.
What do you think the Israelis want?
I certainly could not answer that question. I'm not in the head of the Israelis at all. it certainly looks like they want to take over the entire area, as, even more so than they already have. They want to further isolate Palestinians and have them live behind barbed wire in cages, and to dehumanize them as much as possible, and until they're gone altogether. That's what it feels like, and that's what a lot of Palestinians have talked about, who I've spoken to about that. But, I don't know what on earth Israelis want. Just sitting here, looking at the way Palestinians are forced to live, it's horrifying what's going on here.
What can we do here in the U.S. To support Palestinian people and to call for peace there?
I think one thing that's really good is to start a South African apartheid-style divestment campaign, like this group Sustain has started, but I think they're operating out of D.C., just to get the U.S. government and U.S. citizen tax dollars and U.S.-based corporations to stop funding Israel and its military. The Apache helicopters that fly overhead are made and funded by the U.S. The F-16s are the same. The tanks are the same. The bulldozers that are used to demolish houses in olive groves are Caterpillar. They're from the Caterpillar Corporation, which I think is based in the U.S.
Yeah, it's in the
Midwest.
Although
I'm not entirely positive. And so that would be one thing to do, is to start really pointing out who's paying for this, and not just blame Israel, but fully blame the United States for supporting and funding this, and for letting this happen, and for being, you know, active participants in this terrorizing of Palestinian people that has gone on for so many years. And also, I guess, you know, as much media work as possible that people can do to stop the twisted way that the corporate media is presenting the situation. I mean, I don't know, you know, how that can really be achieved, but programs like yours help, that's for sure. And just to keep doing, keep getting the word out, keep getting real information out. And also, as many people as possible that want to come here as Human Shields, as, you know, as international observers, that would be wonderful. We need way more people than we have now. So as many people as possible that could come, that would be wonderful. And there is another trip planned for June 20th if anyone wants to be involved in international solidarity movement. But we could really use people to come much sooner than that.
How can folks find out more about the international solidarity movement? Is there a website?
PALSolidarity.org.
PALSolidarity.org.
Yes, and also reproachment.org.
Reproachment.org. Okay.
Or they can email anticapitalist@hotmail.com.
Anticapitalist. And I'll repeat those after we're off here. We've been speaking with Kristen Schur. She's talking to us live from Bethlehem in the West Bank in occupied Palestine. I really appreciate your time, and I know it's kind of getting late in the evening for you, and hope you're able to get some sleep tonight.
We don't sleep here. We stay up all night. Palestinian families say that it's too dangerous to sleep at night. They need to be ready to move from one room to the next, depending on where the fire is coming from. They also feel the need to be prepared for the eventual and inevitable calling out of all Arab men in the camp by Israeli soldiers, where they have to go outside and report to them, and are usually arrested and taken away. So at this point, people get their sleep in the early daylight hours.
One final...
So thanks for your concern, but I'm not going to bed anyway.
I just had this, just your recent commentary just brought up another question. I've been reading that over 700 men, Palestinian men, between the ages of, I believe, 16 and 65 are being rounded up and detained. Is there any information about their whereabouts and their condition?
Nope, there's no information.
None.
You can call that thing disappeared.
Wow.
And there's also, of course, the INS in the U.S. that is doing the same thing.
It's true. All right, Kristen, sure. I really appreciate your time this afternoon here in California and for you the evening there. And any final thoughts?
Well, I would just really hope that you keep doing your good work on that and don't let your show get shut down for calling the truth. Thanks for calling us here, and you can call again if you want to.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks for your time.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
And we've been speaking with Kristen Schur from the West Bank town of Bethlehem here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. Please stay tuned.
I'll tell you a story, make it clear as I can. Troubles in the Holy Land. Pictures of the children, that's in your mind. Laying down their bodies on the firing line. And now the people who live there, and they live under the gun, where it was homeland for 1,000 years before the soldiers come. Surrounded by the armies, airplanes in the sky, everybody knows someone who had to die. Oh, Palestine, there's a hole in your soul. Oh, Palestine, will it ever be whole? Settlers come from so far away. Talk about the money from the USA. Talk about the bullets made of plastic and steel. Pictures of a Palestine underneath the Iron Heel. Now what do you do when they come to your home and they tell you your land is no longer your own? Do you let them take it? Do you dare to resist? Pictures of a Palestine underneath the iron fist. Oh, Palestine, there's a hole in your soul. Behold. Now we say we want peace, but we pay for subjugation. We say we want a settlement in terms of occupation. For human rights, but we never say what kind. You can see what has come to in the faces of Palestine. Well, does it ever make you think about the friends we endorse? The armies of a general riding on an iron horse. And does it ever make you wonder seems to be such an undemocratic version of democracy?